Hello, listeners. Due to unforeseen circumstances, Break for Frogger apologize for the lack of mention Skyrim review during this podcast, due to runaway bomber losing his microphone while moving house. I'm unimpressed. What a cock. Also, you may notice occasional syncing error between our audio streams. Sadly, this could not be helped. Again, we offer our apologies. We hope you still enjoy this month's episode. Begin.
Apparently, it's the done thing that sometimes miracles do happen, because as of this night, Break for Frogger has entered Season 3. Everyone applaud. Oh yes, Season 3. Here we are, after a 6-week break. Feels like ages since we've done this. We are currently in my kitchen, and to my left I have...
Am I to your left, I must be. Jordial.
Well, last time I checked you were to my left, unless you've moved in the meantime rather quickly and then moved back again.
Technically, Tom's to your left as well.
Yeah, well, he's straight in front of me. Straight in front of me, I have.
You should have said stage left.
Stage left, over there we have.
Tom Oates. Obviously.
Al just said it. He gave it away, really, didn't he? He just screwed
it up. A little bit.
And in the depths, abyss, or cyberspace, we also have.
To your right.
Fucking hell. I'm in cyberspace. I'll deal with that. I'm Ewan Taylor. Hello, everybody.
Hello. And how is everyone?
I'm good. Surviving the weather.
Everyone good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the weather, which appears to be raining down here, yet snowing a blizzard up there.
Well, it's gone clear outside, though. It's deadly cold out there.
Is it deadly cold? Because you went out for a ciggy.
I did.
Yeah, that's your own fault.
Forgotten.
Damn nicotine addiction.
Yes, agreed. That's what happens. Damn.
Waving my fist in this general direction.
Wave the fist in the way of the gritters as well.
Bloody gritters.
Bloody gritters. Anyway, right. Shall we crack on? This will probably be a good theme tune.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
This is an afterthought.
There's no theme tune this season. It's just the sound of a man farting into the microphone.
Yeah, we should do that. I don't know. Part of me is like, you know, I was sitting there thinking before Christmas, should we change the theme tune? Should we get something a bit more original? Should we do this, that, and the next thing? It probably won't happen. It'll probably just be the same theme tune. Never mind. Ho hum. Anyway, just play it. Right, okay. Well, that was lovely, the same theme tune again. Some things never change, and nor should they. Tom's looking at me with a face of, like, in the edit, I'm just going to get another theme tune just to screw you over. I can just see those words emanate from you. Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking that that's what's going to happen, basically. Right, the usual, then, of what you're playing, and we'll go with Al first.
I usually... come last to
something.
Jesus. Don't let me say that's what your girlfriend said this early in the season.
But that wasn't even a joke. I just said I usually come last at this.
It's not a joke, it's actually
I usually come last on what you've been playing.
You're forgetting the mentality, aren't you?
I might have turned over a new leaf and it might be a non-smutty, straight-talking journalist.
Really?
Really?
I think is there not some prophecy written somewhere the day you drop your smutty innuendo, the world will implode? We're still sitting here, so let's assume that's not the case.
Well, did someone predict at the end of the world this year, didn't they?
The Mayans, apparently, the 21st of December, 2012. Save your money Christmas shopping, basically.
Does that coincide with our record date, though?
No, that's a Friday. We could record on the 20th. And just sit around at midnight, if you wanted to do that.
Should we talk about games, then?
Yeah, let's talk about games, anyway.
Games, they're good.
Right, what have I been playing this month? Well, I've been playing Super Mario World because it was Christmas Eve.
It was your traditional,
I raced through it ridiculously fast this time.
You did live tweet again as well, didn't
I did. I managed
you
to
did live tweet. A bit more than last year, actually, which is
It went ridiculously quick. I literally didn't die on the first three levels or something at all.
Right.
And I was disappointed to do it that fast, and At the end, when I beat the pub and everything, I sat down and I only had like 5 levels left to do. It was a casual stroll through at the end.
Good. Do you get a sense of achievement, or is it worn off now?
Oh no, I always get it every year. I don't know why.
Have you never thought to do another game?
It's Christmas Eve. Don't be silly.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because obviously Super Mario World screams Christmas to me.
It does. It does. Yeah. So I was very happy at that game. I debated at the time whether it should be my last year of doing it or not.
Oof.
But then I thought afterwards, I don't know, probably not.
Really?
I don't think I could normally sit there on Christmas Eve without playing it. If I sat down on Christmas Eve, something in my head would just go, play Mario. Don't care if it's 4 in the
morning. So it's become an elemental association.
Yeah, I think my mind would make me play it. I don't think I could physically sit there on Christmas Eve and not play it.
I would suggest that's not enjoyment, that's mental conditioning.
A bit of both.
A bit of both. Okay. No problem. Anything else?
With Ewan's nice voucher he bought me for Christmas, so I bought the modern game of FIFA World Cup 2010.
Fair enough.
And
are you a bit sick of the song?
No, actually, I quite like it, actually, but maybe I haven't played it enough for it to wear.
Probably not, no.
I like everything about it except the gameplay.
That's quite bad.
I love the screens and the setup and all the modes and stuff like that, but I'm not a big fan of the physics and things on the pitch, especially when you give a penalty away for running into somebody.
Right.
When he wasn't even on the fucking ball.
Oh.
Oh, God. But FIFA 12
is
awful.
Is that like that as well? Isn't it?
FIFA 12 has some really bizarre refereeing decisions.
I was sprinting. I know in proper football, if you run into someone, it probably is a foul, but on computer games, you press and run to run. And you nudge a player and he falls over and the referee has a penalty. What the fuck? That stops Suriname from getting to the World Cup.
Suriname?
Yes.
Wow.
I was most disappointed with that. Did that stop Suriname from getting the World Cup? I just think the game...
I think it was going to be like a Thierry Henry handball.
Yeah. I mean, the achievements are all right. You've got the score in under 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Which I quite enjoyed. And me and my mate were creased up laughing because we made the Cook Islands win the World Cup by just by just getting the second player to forfeit every match. It was so ridiculous. Like, Martin Tyler does it come? Is it Martin Tyler?
I think it is, yeah.
Here we are for a fantastic game, and then just start forfeit. And that's it.
Yes.
And we're warming up, Andy, for good at start forfeit. And here we are again, start forfeit.
It would make the whole tournament a lot quicker, actually, if they did that.
You keep doing it. And you get the achievement for qualifying from your zone, but you don't think, unless we've done it wrong, which I doubt we did, you don't get the achievement for winning the World Cup. You might have to do that.
It probably means you have to do it without start forfeiting on the second player.
Just win 3-0. Why even put that option in the game? It's obviously going to get abused.
But that's what happens under FIFA rules. If a team was to forfeit a match,
we all remember that famous World Cup when the Cook Islands got through because
of course.
Every other team just got there and they were so terrified to play at them, they just forfeited the match.
Yeah, everyone was petrified of the Cook Islands. Yeah. So that was it.
And one other thing I'll just mention briefly is, in my opinion, it's a bit lazy because it doesn't appear to incorporate every round of the World Cup.
I've heard this.
Yeah, it only seems to come in halfway through some qualifying rounds.
Because it's nothing in comparison to what FIFA World Cup 98 was.
Which I think if a PS1 game could do, it surely in a 360 game.
Yeah, there is that.
Considering it has the majority of the teams on it, it just chooses not to put the qualifying rounds on.
I didn't know that.
Unless you unlock them or something, I'm not sure where they can, but some of them just start off at round 2. You can't, to the best of my knowledge, you can't start off at round 1. Somebody may enlighten me on how to do so. I would appreciate it. But
yeah,
so I can see that. But that's my main 2 games I have been playing. I shall save my other hilarity stories for later on.
Okay, no problem at all. Ewan.
Hello.
Hello. What you been playing?
Right. I have been playing a couple of things. My main game this past little while is a game I picked up on the cheap. Just after Christmas in the form of Yakuza 4.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Is a Sega game.
Yes.
Believe it or not, they are still making games.
Yes.
Not just bad Sonic games. And obviously, as the number might suggest, this is the 4th in the Yakuza series, but I have not played a single one of them yet. And I believe it was the lovely gentleman over at BitSocket. There's your free plug, you bastards.
They are big Yakuza boys.
They are massive fans of the game, and I watched the review. And it convinced me to have a go, and I am currently 9 hours in.
Yep.
And a couple of nights ago, I spent 3.5 hours playing this without even realizing.
Yes, it is possible to do that.
It's a time sink of a game. Essentially, it's the style of the game is it's basically a giant crime story set over 4 different characters, and each character's got a different story, but they all lead up eventually, so they all meet up in the end. I've played through 1 story so far. I'm partway through the second. The nice thing is every character's different. The first character you play is a loan shark, and he's got some fighting skills. He knows he can handle himself. The current guy I'm playing, who's called Sejima, is best described as a giant fucking tank that would take nuclear missiles to break down.
Nice.
This man will punch through your face and have no problems about it whatsoever. The main guy who's been in the past 2 games, Kasuma, is... I think I play him later on. He's the last character I play, if I remember correctly. He's been in all 3 games. He's kind of a mix between counter-fighting and... obviously aggressive fighting, and one of the other characters I'm going to come across soon is specialties in counter fighting. So even as the one game, you have to learn 4 different styles of fighting in, to be able to master it, which I thought was quite a nice little change.
Yeah.
Basically it's set in 1 area of Tokyo called Kachimucho, which is basically the red light district of Tokyo. There's hookers, there's Yakuza everywhere. But the nice thing is, you see all these lovely lit up shops, and unlike Grand Theft Auto, where you see this, say for example, you see this lovely big arcade, and you go, oh, that looks great, I'd love to go inside that. You woke up to it and realize it's just a texture, and you're kind of like, oh, I really wanted to go in there. With Yakuza 4, if you can see it, near enough 99% of the time, you can go in it and interact with it in some manner. Up to the point where, just before we started recording tonight, I was in one of the arcades playing a grabber game, trying to collect a giant eye figure.
I was I spent a lot of time in the first Yakuza game on the PS2, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's the Japanese game with the marble, like the ball bearings.
Yep, I know what
Pachinko?
You mean. Pachinko?
I probably
yes.
horribly mispronounced that, but and probably someone will correct me. But
I think it's
but
right.
that, I got horribly addicted to Pachinko, just...
There's pachinko
game.
Parlors in this one as well. There's a Virtua Fighter pachinko machine, which I thought was hilarious.
Awesome.
There's pachinko parlors, there's shops you can buy different power-ups, such as things to increase your stamina, your health, your fury, which is what you use to pull off some more of your violent or exciting moves. And in fight scenes, it's almost... I don't want to make a Pokemon comparison because it's really unfair, but you can be walking through the middle of the street, and let's say another gang member looks you the wrong way, or you look at him the wrong way, or whatever, or you're walking over his turf, he might come over and challenge you to fight there and then, and obviously a fight breaks out, which is quite good because A, it gets you to practice your fighting skills, and B, if you see something around you, be it a bench, a bike, a traffic cone, if you see it, you can pick it up and use that weapon any way you want.
Yes, you can brace someone over the head with a tricycle.
Can you insert the traffic cone?
Can you insert the traffic cone? Where?
I have not managed to find that feature yet, but being a Japanese game, I imagine it's probably there somewhere.
Are you suggesting, Al, that you would finish a fight by shoving a traffic cone up someone's ass?
Possibly.
With Don't Park Here written across it. That would be like the worst fatality Mortal Kombat's ever had.
What? Yeah. having a workman is it in Mortal Kombat, you know?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah.
Gasman wins, yeah.
Oh, no.
Gasman wins. I see myself sinking a lot more time into this game just purely praying for the story, but just even messing around. I mean, I just stuck it on there and I had the intention of just mucking around the city and wasted half an hour easily.
Yeah, it's got
the
a
game
lot to it.
Is in Japanese,
mm-hmm.
but don't put off by that. The game is all in Japanese with English subtitles.
That's quite cool, actually. I wouldn't mind that.
It is. No, I don't mind it at all.
Don't want to use anything silly like English, like, yeah.
Well,
translating it into English, you'd lose the effect of it because it is a Japanese-based story. It is about Japanese culture being the Yakuza, so having it in its native tongue just adds to the kind of feeling more and adds to the fact that you're watching this this almost film time because some of the cutscenes are quite long.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the level of Metal Gear Solid ones where you're sitting there going, for the love of God, please fucking end.
Yes.
But they're just long enough to get the storyline, and I mean... When you start playing as Sejima, you get a little cutscene that explains what's happened. It involves a scene where he walks into a bar with a full Yakuza clan with about 12 six-shooter revolvers,
mm-hmm.
and proceeds to kill every single person in
the first one had very, very similar things. I still remember one of the fights in the first one. There was like a rival mob boss was on the top of a skyscraper, and you basically had to fight up all these floors in the actual building when you got there. And it was like the main guy taking on like 50 other guys on one floor, and then moving up and then like shattering them through windows and all this kind of stuff. It was great.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable. I mean, I picked this up for £12 in HMV. So if you're curious and if you want something else, it's different. I mean, in some aspects, it's the same kind of similar kind of gameplay, but at the same time, it's something refreshingly different.
Yeah. And, also good if you like Shenmue.
Yes, if you're a fan of Shenmue, and are sad that Shenmue 2 is never ever going to come out.
No, Shenmue 3 will not ever come out.
It's never going to come out. It's never going to happen. Just let it go. Let it rest, and we can move on happy in our lives.
Indeed.
That there'll be something else similar you can play in no doubt in 6 months' time.
Anything else?
I have also picked up a small game. I realise I'm a little bit behind the trend with this one, but it's a small game called Red Dead Redemption. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Did you not try this when you borrowed it off Dave, and then you ended up not liking it and giving it back?
I did. I don't know what was wrong with me at the time, because I did borrow this off Dave, and I didn't like it at all.
Right, and now?
I think I was just burned out on third-person games at that point.
Right.
Now I am absolutely loving it.
Okay, what a difference a year makes.
I know. I don't know what was going on with me. This time, I am playing on the Xbox 360 this time,
though. Alright, okay.
I don't know if that makes any difference whatsoever.
Probably not.
one difference it does make is...
Probably not, no. But I didn't get as far as to be able to use the Deadeye system last time.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more satisfying than putting 6 bullets in someone's head using...
Yes, it's brilliant. It is absolutely... I love Red Dead Redemption.
I rode my horse into a ditch.
Al rode his horse into a ditch. And then did you not, like, shoot it to put it out of his misery?
I don't think I could figure out how. I probably would have wanted to. I tried to shoot the woman, but it wouldn't let me.
No.
But I thought it seemed a good game, Red Dead. I just never had time to play.
I'll just scratch this off right now. But I'm going to play through it all because I want to be able to say, yes, I've played it. I know last year I said it was a great game and that, but... Obviously, I had my problems with it last year when I ignored it all day and tried to play it and just couldn't get into it whatsoever. But I think what happened last time was I forced myself onto it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a rampant sex pest. But this time I'm going to be more easy with it. I'm going to let it come into my life and just, you know, play it when I've got some free time and just kind of let it kind of just slowly work its way
like,
into me. Which
like an illicit lover.
Wrong. Yes, like an illicit level, like the old Tray Man, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So Red Dead Redemption's going to come, like, sliding through your window on a zip wire.
Yeah, on a zip wire, leaving some chalks and a salty note and leave.
Right, of course. Of course.
Kind of like Gary Glitter with a DM to your Twitter page.
Oh, dear, no. No, 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 no. Twitter on Glitter, let's not have this. Is that you, Dan?
Yeah,
done. Okay. Dom?
I am going to keep it relatively short this
month. Okay.
Only because the two games that I've been playing are Skyrim.
Yes.
And L.A. Noire.
Right.
What are you playing Skyrim on?
PS3.
Have you had the epic fail save from yet?
No.
That's good. I hope it doesn't happen.
I'm regularly saving as well. I make a new one every hour or so.
It's not the amount of saves you have. Skyrim... does something on the PS3 version, apparently, where the save file gets bigger the further out you are in the game.
Well, they have fixed it, apparently.
Apparently so, yes. But if it goes on... Originally, if you went above 5 meg, I think it was, as a size of save file, it started to affect the frame rate. If you go on YouTube, there's plenty of people trying to play the PS3 version with a save file of more than 5 meg, and the thing is choppy as fuck.
Oh, God.
Like, dragons will literally be flying through the sky in one frame, then in your face there the next. They just go dump day like that, and then
at least they don't have Randy Savage's face.
No, that video is brilliant.
I would like to see that.
I will show you it before we go. Yes, good old Cy, a listener of Breakfast Frogger, left it. Did you see this, Ewan?
No, I haven't. What is
that? Simon, I meant to hear it on the Breakfast Frogger friend of mine called Simon left on my Facebook wall. Basically, it's someone's modded the PC version of Skyrim, and the dragon at the start that burns down the whole village. He's stuck Macho Man Randy Savage head on it.
And boots.
And boots. And instead of like breathing fire and roaring, it just goes, ooh, yeah, like that all the time. And it's just absolutely brilliant.
Tremendous. The best one I've seen so far, someone's modded some of the crabs to turn them into...
Yeah, I posted that video right afterwards as well. It was fucking hilarious. Look at me, Professor Zoidberg, homeowner. Anyway, chill.
Indeed, so, yes, so Skyrim.
Well, I'm going to review Skyrim in an audio review on this
episode. You're
going to
have an audio review of Skyrim on this episode.
I'm going to refrain from talking about it.
Okay, no problem.
Try and withhold.
Okay. Nice and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And
L.A. Noire as well.
So, L.A. Dark.
All I will say about L.A. Noire, we don't need to talk about it anymore. We've talked about it plenty. All I will say is I don't think I gave it enough credit, perhaps, in last month's award.
Okay, didn't it win the most disappointment?
It did win the most. Biggest disappointment of the year.
And, yeah.
But I'm interested in what you have to say about it, being that this is your first time sort of majorly getting into it.
I'm enjoying it a lot, actually.
Okay.
Although we conversed about this earlier, didn't we?
How far through are you?
Yeah.
There is a turning point.
There is a turning point when the story gets a little bit more interesting, yes, than just doing case after case after case.
Mm. I enjoyed the kind of Black Dahlia serial killing storyline.
Oh, the one of the vice cases. The Black Dahlia
kind of
storyline.
I did very much enjoy the kind of culmination, the end, the catacombs chase.
Yes.
Very enjoyable.
Mm, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I maintain that it's still... The interrogation system's contrived.
It is amazingly
frustrating.
Warped. Yes.
And yeah, a lot of it's being held up a lot by the look at this awesome facial animation, as we've said in the past.
Yeah, it was the facial animation was really good.
It was really good. It's really impressive.
It doesn't.
It's wonderful being able to kind of look at someone and go, "I know you from this film, this TV show."
Yeah.
You know, I love that those are real people.
Yeah. Parkman for Heroes.
Leo from Charmed. Not that I watched Charmed.
Oh, right. You didn't watch Charmed.
He was Clem Feeney, the fruit market store assistant
who had
the moonshine
stash. I've never seen Charmed, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Now I feel stupid.
He's waffling on to me.
Is that with the three witches?
Yes, it is.
Pippa and something.
That's the one.
Oh, God. Right, keep talking.
Why does the smile come across your face for that?
Charmed me.
It charmed Al. Okay. Is that a polite way of saying... Never mind. Carry on, Tom.
That's me done.
Are you done?
Oh, I haven't really got much more to say about it other than I'm enjoying it quite a lot. And I regret being quite so damning on it last.
Wait until you get to the ending.
Oh, I am. I'm holding...
This might... If you complete it in the next month, it might be interesting to go back... and talk about it next month more in depth, and we might have to just, like, spoiler tag it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was...
It's interesting. It's definitely split.
Oh, totally. I think...
Which is great.
It was fantastic for that, but I just think it was... I think they concentrated so much on the facial animation side of it and got that quite right. Everything else seemed to fall apart. And the way it was designed, the more game-like it became, the worse it got. Yeah, in a bizarre kind of flux.
Which is ridiculous thinking.
Everything wanted to, you know, just play it as, you know, it tried to obey the rules of a video game. It just got really, really crap for me, and it just broke it.
But we'll save that for the
potential. Yeah, I'm thinking that even next month, as I say, we'll have a Louis section, you know, around about now, where we'll just sort of label it massive spoiler here. And then we'll...
I can reveal Professor Layton.
Yeah, you can just give away the storyline of the next... Have you not played the 3DS one? You can just give away that as well.
Oh, has it got me to the 3DS?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Can you not get a normal?
Yeah, you can get a normal one, yeah.
That's alright.
But I think there's another 3DS one coming out.
Oh,
at least it might even be out now, I don't know.
There's a new one out, but I'm hoping you can get a normal DS, because I'm fucking not buying a 3DS.
Okay, no problem at all. Oh, that was quite adamant. Right, my couple of games... for £19, we'll share our New Year sales stories here. £19, I ended up with a limited edition version of Dark Souls on the Xbox 360. Now,
Dark Souls. How many times have you used the Xbox so far?
I'm not that far into it, and I am literally like at the Asylum Demon right at the start. Yeah, the first kind of major one, which actually chucks against you around about 5 minutes in, when you only have the hilt of a sword to your name.
All you really have is a star sword.
Yeah, pretty much a small book and a piece of chewing gum to face this massive lizard-like thing with a club which whacks you halfway across the room. And then, you know, I tried to build this noble hero and amazing, you know, wondrous warrior of honor and pride, and I couldn't really get past the asylum demon. And then Tom came around one night, tried it, called his main character Bum Eyes.
Bum Eyes.
And then beat the fucking thing. And I was like, thanks for that. Make me feel inadequate.
How did Bum Eyes beat it?
Bum Eyes beat it by just downing lots and lots of ether flasks?
Yeah.
Ether flasks, whatever they are, that give you the energy back.
Basically health packs.
Yeah, but I'm a bit weird about using them, because I'm kind of getting the funny feeling that the game's not going to give you many of those. So that's why I've not beaten it. So I've yet to go back. I think you really have to be in the mood for Dark Souls.
Dark Souls is one of those games where, like Super Meat Boy, you know you're going to get your ass kicked at it. You know you're going to get angry.
Yeah, I think with Dark Souls as well, it just basically looks at you and says, oh yeah, you're not going to have fun playing this, by the way, because this game hates you and wants you to die.
This game is the hateful cousin.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it wants to do. It just wants to go. It is like the evil bloody mistress, you know, just kind of like slapping you about the face, just telling you you're an idiot.
The one you visit every 2 weeks to your wife doesn't know what you want.
Okay, never mind.
I wouldn't know either.
Possibly.
I might know.
Possibly. I didn't know they had those sort of things in Carlisle.
He bites on that one.
Mind you do live down Warwick Road, so. Never mind. Anyway.
Tell people my address, yeah.
It's a big street.
Kicking all the 1,000 houses just to find us.
It's about 3 miles long. I don't think you're quite safe. But. Yeah, so Dark Souls, I'm not far into it. I can see why people get a kick out of it, because it is the sense of achievement you get when you make any kind of progress, not that I fucking have yet, is, you know, looks to be quite a good thing. But yeah, I'll keep trying to chipping away at it, but I don't think it'll be like the main game I'm playing at the moment, because as I say, you really have to be in the mood to play it. Yeah. And the other game I'm... playing at the moment, and you know those moments where a game just clicks and you've gone from being kind of like, yeah, it's no bad, to they're just going, yeah, this is absolutely freaking awesome.
I'm really looking forward to hearing you say this out loud.
Yeah.
Go on. Oh, this was
Mass Effect 2.
Woo!
Oh!
Yeah, I know. There's me.
Oh, okay. Right. Silence.
There was me a few months ago saying... The boat had sailed for this on me. The Mako had left the building. There was no way I was going to return to Mass Effect 2. I could appreciate it was a good game series, but I really, really didn't want to go there because I felt I was a bit behind the times on it. Now, do you mind when Mass Effect 2 got released on the PS3 and Mass Effect 1 was not on the PS3? So they solved that by giving you an interactive 30-minute comic book of the first game, and you're allowed to make all the main choices of the first game in that comic book. Well, they released the same thing, the Genesis pack, on Xbox Live. Oh. So you need Mass Effect 2's disc to play it.
Download it.
But it'll basically start a Mass Effect 2 game. You basically choose whether you want a male or female Shepard, and then you go through the events of the first game in comic book form. That took me about half an hour.
Yeah.
And then you get to design your own... The storyline means you can design your own Shepard at the start of Mass Effect 2 before the story kicks off again.
Yeah.
And then you end up just playing away at Mass Effect 2. It is... I mean, I didn't not like the first game, but it was just when it started getting onto all the other planets, it got a little bit rubbish. And as we've already discussed, the Mako is a horrible, horrible game vehicle to control.
I watched something recently and it was voted the worst vehicle in video gaming.
It just is unbelievable.
We've had this conversation before and I never had that much of an issue with it. When it came to niggles from Mass Effect 1, it was the micromanagement of the fucking inventory that did my head.
The inventory was also stupid.
But I could overlook it because of the quality of the game, basically.
But well, I was not willing to sit there and pump 60 hours plus into a game that just was, I thought, was fucking broken. So, the Genesis, if it wasn't for the Genesis kind of comic book thing, you could forget it. I wouldn't have done it. But that has given me the gateway into the second one.
I can see you easily pumping 50 plus.
I probably will.
I would suggest that you get the add-ons.
What, like Lair of the Shadow Broker?
Lair of the Shadow Broker, Arrival, and... Overlord. Thoroughly enjoyable. Arrival ties in, I believe. I haven't completed it yet, so I can't entirely comment, but ties in nicely for the opening of Mass Effect 3, I believe.
Okay, that kind of bridges the gap between those two.
I had this game. I think I traded it because I was wanting it at a good price at the time. It's added on PS3. It's a game I'm probably going to get back because I really want to get through this. I'm really interested in Mass Effect 3.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I want to make sure I get through this first before I go into Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, start now.
You've only got just over a month.
Yeah, I was going to say, better get move on now. Oh, right. Oh, shit.
But yeah. See, yeah.
I got to go.
No, but everything I'm enjoying. Basically, my shepherd, I went a female shepherd.
You did? Fem shep.
Complete accident, she looks like Tilda Swinton. Although she has a bit of an alien look about her anyway, so that's quite apt, really, I think. And she's basically a gun-toting lesbian.
You're still in the early stages of the game too, I presume.
I am at the bit. I've just literally got the fella on my team that's the doctor that was curing the plague.
Morden Solus.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Morden. Yeah. So at what point did the game finally sink in and click? Then
was it was just the mission before you go and get him. You walk into like the plague infested slums of this asteroid city. And I was having just a lot of fun, just busy. I don't usually like cover shooters. That's the problem. You know, Gears of War leaves me cold. And here I am, like, you know, taking cover, doing tactical and all this kind of stuff. Although, I don't know what happens, but I'm with Miranda and Jacob right now. And they're basically running headlong into anything, gung-ho, firing away with everything, like biotics and everything like that. And I'm usually the one kind of cowering away in the background, kind of going, yeah, I'll put a couple of bullets in him once you've fired him up in the air, kind of thing. So that's what's happening at the moment. So that'll do me fine. If they want to go on a suicide dive, then that's fine.
Have you started controlling them?
No.
Do you give them
commands? No, I've just kind of let them do their own thing at the moment.
It's quite useful.
Is it? I've not really mastered. Is that the other wheel you get with the... Listen to me, dunce.
Yeah, you can set them to do... If you want to do a specific thing, you can set them to basically counter them or...
I think when I was exploring the redesigned Normandy the other night, I think there was a training room that explains all that kind of stuff in it. So.
Have you spotted the little window? I think it might be down on the bottom floor. There's a window into the cargo bay and the Mako is there suspended.
Oh, can you flick a switch and eject the fucking thing?
No, sadly not.
Damn.
Set it on fire.
The novelty thing that they've got in Mass Effect 3 for the Kinect amuses me.
What's just shouting at your telly?
I know you disapprove outright, but if I had a Kinect, I would do it for a laugh. I would not buy a Kinect for that functionality, but I'm amused by the thought of being able to command your squad using your voice.
Wouldn't it be brilliant, though, if you could use the voice controls for the sex scenes in it?
Perfect.
You're looking awfully nice there, Miranda. I'm going to get your kit off, love. The Daily Mail wouldn't have a fit about that. That'd be all right. Youngsters in sex simulator in space. No, you're looking at me blankly.
I'm concerned about you.
I actually saw a video the other day. I think it was on IGN of explaining just when you're on about your lesbian adventures in Mass Effect, like homosexuality in games. And Mass Effect was brought up, and it was a female sex, and then we got to Dragon Age, and I swear to God, one of the male characters in the gay scene sounded exactly like the voice you just saw.
That was my job. Creepy. I got paid to do that voice. They approached me and said,
"Right, so in this,
do you want to do that? You're getting right on the job.
I fucking like it."
Okay. Well, so I thought, let's have some Glaswegian pervert. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, I got paid quite handsomely for a year for that. It's gonna be good. Be good. I didn't get bummed up the nose, so that's alright, isn't it? So, anyway, that's me and Mass Effect have finally clicked, and I'm loving it.
I'm extremely pleased.
I know you're happy at this, in a kind of
because I do genuinely believe you're going to end up with a similar feeling to me.
That was a frustrating thing. I always looked at it and thought I would enjoy that, but I genuinely thought boats shifted on that. I'm never going to. And I didn't want to pump, as I say, 60 hours into the first game, and I really didn't enjoy playing parts of it.
You're more than welcome to borrow Mass Effect 3 when I'm finished it.
I probably will in that case. I'll probably be just behind you in the story then in that case.
Yeah.
So don't tell me any Mass Effect 3 when you're playing it.
I won't.
Cool. As for the rest of it, that I've been playing Ocarina of Time as well, but I'll have to. That's a separate thing that I'll come to later on in the podcast. The one thing I would say about Ocarina of Time, though, is playing it back, what, 15 years, 16 years after its original release? 1996, 97, kind of time? It has aged badly. And I know people are going to say that's really fucking obvious, but you go and play Link to the Past, and the art style Link to the Past still means it looks quite distinct and fresh now. The fact that Wind Waker was cel-shaded, which at the time was absolutely derided, went back and played that. It still looks stunning now. Ocarina of Time looks dog rough. It genuinely looks like Hyrule's been smeared in Vaseline.
Some people just can't be pleased.
Well, I'm just saying.
The game's 17 years old or something.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. Link to the Past is even older, but because it had this distinct art style, it looks really good.
Oh, well, I'm sorry that they didn't design the game, especially for you, Cameron, in 17 years' time, so you think it's nice.
Oh, there's a raw nerve. There's a raw nerve. Anyway, but I'm going to be playing. I'll be giving them a little recorded bit later on in the podcast about playing the first sort of bit of Ocarina of Time. That'll be fun. But hey-ho, there you go. I think that's just about us wrapped up then for the first bit, isn't
it? One thing I want to say,
ooh,
just a heads up, so to speak. I don't know if the deal's still ongoing, but in the New Year sales, I picked up a spectacularly good deal.
What's that?
At Game. Although other shops do exist.
At Game, to say that. Yes.
I managed to pick up El Shaddai on the Xbox for £4.98, brand new.
That's a bargain, and also quite sad that game's fallen so low in price.
It's supposed to be
already.
Outstanding.
I have seen screenshots of this, but I have not really heard anything from it apart from that.
It's quite crazy.
It looks it.
Again, you're welcome to.
Yeah, I might have a wee
borrow when I finished.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm intrigued. Metacritic rates it highly, and I know that's not something to go by, but I thought for £4.98.
Generally, you can't really lose for £4.98, can you?
Like, exactly. You know, it still had its original £39.99 sticker on the corner. It was just like, I picked up the game, turned around to the cashier, and went, is this real? Is this a mistake? And kind of got, no, not a mistake. Crazy, isn't it?
Well,
but yes, just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't got many copies left in many shops, but it's worth having a look if you're interested.
I think I know someone else on Twitter the other night who in GameStation had picked up Bayonetta and Bulletstorm for a tenner.
For the two. That was another one of my New Year's purchases.
Was it?
We'll see how that goes. Dead Island.
Huh. Yeah, and Dead Island. Oh, yeah, I remember you saying you bought Dead Island. It'll be interesting to see how that one goes.
Yeah, me too.
There you go. Anywho, that concludes what you've been playing. Moving swiftly on. Depending on where Tom places this in the episode, I've either just offended Alan or I'm about to by saying that Ocarina of Time looks terrible looking back these days. If I can have a moment without the Geordie moaning on in the background, then I'll either repeat or preview an argument that Link to the Past might be older, but as an art style it still looks fresh now. Wind Waker, a game which was knocking on for 10 years old now, has such a good art style that it's really not aged that much when you go back and play it now, because it's still quite unique. Ocarina, however, looks murky as hell. This is not to say it's bad, and I'm not intent on studying the graphics in the process of this playthrough, so we'll probably just move on, unless Al explodes. It must be the law that Link should start every single Zelda game asleep, but then, by the fact he's the only one without a fairy swarming around his head chirping away all day, he's probably enjoying the peace. Upon waking up, I leave my somewhat sparsely decorated treetop abode, because I have to visit a tree. Somewhere in the chambers of Hyrule Council, they'll probably come up with a plan to force to remove these hippies. I spend the next couple of minutes getting used to the controls, and remember that automatically jumping was considered a big thing back in the day. Having played Wind Waker, I can see where most of that mechanic comes from. After running around the forest village for a while, I realise I cannot leave this enclosure to go and see the tree in question until I have gained a sword and a shield. Some snotty kid stands by the exit telling me this. Personally, if a tree wants to talk to me, then I should probably just go, but the need for weaponry seems to override all this. I find a sword in a chest which seems to be guarded by a rolling rock. From what the other villagers say, it seems to be a very important sword, so leaving it to be guarded by a fossil seems lacklustre at best. A shield proves slightly more difficult, as I seem to have to buy one. I have no money to begin with, so I'm forced to ratchet around the gardens and underground to find a relevant coin. I should have just stood in a corner begging, as it probably would have been a lot quicker. After much scavenging, I find the relevant 40 rupees and find myself ripped off by a shopkeeper who essentially sells me a wooden block with a handle on the back. I vow to write to consumer rights later, but now onwards to the tree. The tree has a moustache, which makes it look a little bit like Tom Selleck. Upon explaining the situation, the tree asks me if I'm up to the task of saving the kingdom. I agree, if only because saying no would have made this audio article quite short. I go about my intrepid way towards the tree and enter Tom Selleck. I met with what seems like the first dungeon and my first proper combat with plant life. I'm given a twig and some nuts to throw, which don't seem to do much with the bony spiders that I find further up the tree. Honestly, if Tom Selleck were this infested, he should have just called the exterminator. Small spiders I can dispatch quickly. But upon entering one room, I knock down by a larger specimen who, I'm informed, has to be stabbed on its soft underbelly in order to defeat it. It does not show me its underbelly, and no amount of battering with my nuts does the job. When the usual Zelda bugbear comes out of hiding, the constant beeping when you're low on life, the spider flings itself at me, and I'm dead. This quest could probably take a while. At least the bloody beeping stopped, though. Something very unusual now on Break for Frogger. Possibly not a regular thing, but and now I'm going to have to do Phil's an impression of Phil doing an impression of Dave in Sonic's Ring. And just this will make you feel at home. It's like kind of going, movie time! Movie time! Because we're going to talk about a film. That's unusual, isn't it? For a pure gaming podcast that we usually are.
Why was that?
It's a video game related film because Al has seen
King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
Yeah, and you thought this was hysterically funny.
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was great.
All right. Tell us.
It featured some old, rubbishy, outdated game that doesn't look very good now.
Dear God. Sorry to have offended you so much.
It features Donkey Kong as the King of Kong title assist, the original arcade, which, to be fair, I do think is a bit rubbish, but that's a different point. I think it had its day, and it's a bit repetitive now. But anyway, and I've got it for the Spectrum, as I proved this time last year.
Yes, you did.
Anyway, the whole point of it is to score as many points as you can on it. And you've literally got to sit there for at least 2.5 hours straight to get anywhere near the record. And I just couldn't imagine any sitting there playing that game for 2.5 hours.
No.
It literally gets to the point where you can do it blindfolded because you've played it that much. It's not about skill or dodging. It's literally memorizing where everything moves. But anyway, these guys want to do it. And I believe it, a gentleman by the name of Billy Mitchell had the record.
Mm-hmm.
And the film's a bit misleading. And it says that he obtained the record in 1982 and it never got broken, which wasn't true. Because the guy who was trying to break the record in the film already has the record in the film.
Yeah.
But they just neglect that point. So it makes for a good film. It makes for good guy versus bad guy.
They bend the truth for dramatic effect.
It makes for the good...
It happens
good,
a lot in film and TV.
It makes for the good guy who's just lost his job, who's down on his luck, who's got nothing to do in the house, so obtains a Donkey Kong cabinet and sets about breaking this world record. From the guy who... The other guy who had the record in 1982, who apparently is a tosser, he admits to himself that he's not a very nice person, and he owns a big chain of restaurants and done really well and got loads of money and all the rest of it. And apparently they portray him too nice as well. They portray him as too kind-hearted in the film. Apparently he's a lot worse than that in real life, and if you've seen the film, he's terrible in that, so I don't know. I don't imagine what he's like in real life, really.
Right, true scumball.
Yeah, and they portray him as this down on his luck guy trying to break this other guy's record, when in reality, he already had the record. But I guess that doesn't make very good television.
No. Not really.
No. Anyway, first of all, it starts with him breaking the record and sending into his videotape the Twin Galaxies, which is like a sort of an organisation. I'm not exactly sure what part of America. Could be California or Florida, I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, it gets sent there and to the head referee, who I think is Billy Mitchell. No, there he is. Billy Mitchell. No, that is the other guy. Who's the head referee again? He's down there.
The head referee, hold on.
Walter Summick, isn't it?
Walter D.
That's it. I've got to try to look for him down there.
Walter D.
He's the head referee, and below him are a group of other referees, which just so happens as Billy Mitchell is involved in, and they get to verify everyone's world records sent in on VHS, of all things.
Nice.
I thought in 2005, when I think the film was being made, it's still a bit behind, but you know me, I love my videotapes. So he sends it in, of them breaking the world record, and these guys, these little noobs at the verifying thing, decide to, it's lies, decide to discredit them for it, because he sent the videotape in. It even goes so far, supposedly, into breaking into his garage to check the machine out, to take pictures of the circuit boards to make sure nothing's tampered with. And doing this to find a box in the garage with the address on the front, which is Billy Mitchell's arch nemesis.
Oh.
Apparently, he stole, in his words, he stole his missile command score off him. And he hates Billy Mitchell, and Billy Mitchell hates him. Because his missile command score world record is not recognised. And because this box was there, and apparently the guy bought him a new circuit board from the machine because he found out he was trying to beat Billy Mitchell. So he bought me. But because this guy's name was involved, and they don't like him, and basically say he's dodgy, they discounted the record on that grounds.
Oh.
Despite the fact they could see nothing wrong with it at all, just because this guy's name was somehow involved in the process, that they wouldn't credit them with the record, despite the fact he's done it. And then Billy Mitchell comes on to even quote that you can do anything in your garage, but you've got to do it in live play, you know, in the arcades to make it count. So the guy, to all his credit, the good guy, travels all these miles to an arcade to do it, where Billy Mitchell won't even meet him.
Right.
And one of the arcades he goes to is 10 miles from his house, from this other guy's house, and he comes to the arcade once to look at him and refuses to talk to him. And basically says something to his wife when he goes past, there's some people here I choose not to talk to, or something like that. So, you know, this poor other guy, the good guy, like I said, the portrayed him really is the hero. He travels all these different places trying to break the world record, which he does on one of them. He breaks it. And then the day he breaks it, this mysterious videotape turns up of Billy Mitchell breaking the million points barrier. And that's accepted straight away. No question at all, because it's on videotape. It's accepted straight away. Despite the copy of the videotape looks dodgy, and when he actually does reach 0000, there's like, what's the word, like a sound bar on the tape, like a rift going across it.
Ah, I like it.
You know, and of course they accept that. That must be perfectly right. But apparently, later on, it is retracted. But in the film, I don't think they mention it's retracted. They just mention he might have made a mistake. Whereas I think in real life, he decided to wipe that record from the books, so to speak. And so basically this guy against this group who call themselves referees, who just look out for each other more than anything. Billy Mitchell even sends his little crony along to try and put the other guy off when he's playing.
That's hardly sporting.
Exactly. He's like getting a big crowd to gather around him and stuff. And apparently his ambition in life is to get the kill screen on Donkey Kong, and he never achieves it. Even by the end of the film, he doesn't, which I think is good, because he portrays as a tit in it as well. But anyway, the film ends, and you feel a bit sorry for the guy, because he didn't beat the record. But he made a lot of friends, and all these guys now supposedly understand the meaning of the error of the ways of making that videotape, not accepting his. Really, he's a good old spot-on sporting guy.
Of course.
And even Billy Mitchell's friends starts to support the guy and wants him to see him beat the record.
Nice.
And they sit down with Billy Mitchell and this guy, and they say, man, what's the Steve Wiebe like, the guy trying to beat the record? And the other guy goes, I think he's a great guy, he's a family man and all the rest of it, he's good. And they go to Billy Mitchell, what do you think of him? And he just goes, never met him, I can't comment. You know, like a real sore loser, you know, like a real, honestly, you've got to see it to appreciate what a titty comes across as.
I've heard this of the film, but never actually seen it. I might have to check this out.
It's really, really good. Apparently, Billy Mitchell is actually worse than he's depicted on the film, but they didn't actually want to include. They only wanted to include so many scenes to make him out to be bad, but apparently a lot worse.
The film has a happy ending, because afterwards, after the credits sort of start rolling, it shows him breaking the record in the garage, and they do accept his videotape for that.
Was that?
Yeah, so it was a nice happy ending, but apparently it's been broken a few times since.
I think it's swapped back and forth between the two of them since.
But that was the end.
Apparently.
And it was a great little thing, but apparently it was supposed to be a documentary made on computer games or arcade games, but they had so much footage between this feud,
yeah,
they decided to solely concentrate on the Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Hence, you've got little sort of bits. There's an old woman in it trying to beat the Q-Bert world record at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But that story sort of ignored pretty much because obviously they just want to concentrate on this Donkey Kong thing more than anything. Which I must admit, despite Bending the Truth, it comes across as a fantastic film. And I would say a must for a lot of video game fans out there.
Cool.
I was very impressed with it. I thought it was like, oh God, what's this? But nope, brilliant.
I'll check it out and see if it's on Love Film streaming. At the and then see if it's on there. And if it's on the Love Film app, I'll probably download
it. It's on that.
Or stream it, rather.
Remind me what that thing's called. That Xbox
Netflix.
Just got. It's on that,
it.
Yeah. It's on
it
that.
Might be on the Love Film one as well, then, maybe. But we'll have to see.
Oh, sorry, it's on Netflix?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, awesome. I'll check it out.
I'm
going to probably try and pick up the DVD, because I like hard copies of stuff, so I'm going to try and pick up the DVD.
He likes hard copies. None of this streaming lark.
There was not a sexual innuendo in there.
No, he likes hard copy. Good stuff. So is that our movie section finished then? That was exciting, wasn't it? Well, next month, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
It's good to talk.
It's good to talk. Blimey. Yeah. Anyway, moving swiftly on. All around the country at the moment, businesses are shutting down due to the double dipping of a recession. And one place, though, remains open steadfastly in the name of retro video games. Welcome, Geordie Al's Retro Games Emporium. How you doing, Al?
I'm good. The shop's up doing right. January sale on, it's doing good.
Is it good? Oh, good January sale on, yeah?
It's good stuff.
You get El Shadow for less than £4.98?
No, it's too modern.
Oh, fair enough.
Maybe in 10 years' time it'll be.
Maybe in 10 years, okay.
How's Ebenezer?
Yeah, he rang me. He said something about some ghosts visiting him.
Terrible. Shot him straight in the face.
Waka waka.
Waka waka.
Yeah, he's all right, though. He's doing good.
Good.
He's with Jimmy Savile. I don't know what he's on about.
I don't know. Any idea?
Anyway, the Retro Games Emporium. Now.
Hey.
Retro Games Emporium is a game I've mentioned many times.
Well, all right, okay.
I should say I've mentioned the series many times, but I haven't played the version very much, and we're back to our good ISS. Well, I say ISS 64. It's not ISX 64. It's Deluxe. Has anyone played Deluxe?
Yes.
I hadn't.
You hadn't played Deluxe?
Well, very little I've played Deluxe, and I wondered why. I always wondered why this I've played so little. So I did a bit of research. Apparently, it only came out, I think, about 4 months after the original.
Yes.
Which I think is bizarre.
Yes.
And we pretty much played the original lots. And after we played that, the N64 one was out. And there was just no need to buy this one. So this is a game I bought probably in about 2000 when no one cared about Super Nintendos anymore sort of thing. So I picked it up for about a fiver. And during Christmas, I thought, I'm bored. I may as well stick it on and see what it's like.
All right.
And I wasn't too impressed. It tends to be in between the original IS and the 64 version. It's in no man's land, so to speak. It's a bit nothing on both accounts. So I wasn't too impressed by it. What were your feelings on it?
You're right about it being not long after the original came out that Deluxe ended up being on the shelves again, because I think the original one in the yellow box came out about Easter time.
Yeah.
In 1997 or something. No, 93. No, it wouldn't have been 97. Would it have been shit? It would have been 95.
No, 5. It might 95. Be 5. Actually, 5,
so. Christ. And then the Deluxe edition came out at Christmas.
Yeah, November, I think it was.
Because I remember getting that at the same time as I got Mortal Kombat 3. That was my kind of big game Christmas thing that year. My dad unwittingly buying his son a fucking gore-filled beat-em-up, you know, when he was, you know, 14. So it's I always thought it was really good. I remember playing it to death, but having said that, if I went back to it today, I'd probably think it was horrendously rubbish.
Like old games you go back to?
Not all games, Al. I've already said Link to the Past was all right.
All right, then. No, I just found it too in-between it to be... I won't say good, but to be... What's the word I'm looking for? Durable, almost, you know? The playability.
Having had some longevity, kind of standing of the test of time, right?
Where I think I love... You know, obviously, if I've mentioned those times, I love the N64 one. And you can see a lot of elements of the N64 in there. Mm-hmm. But with such the basic gameplay and console, they just don't come across as good.
Yeah.
But being the thing, I think. One thing I found hilarious, I kind of mentioned glitches on the last episode. I got pissed off with it, and I deliberately tried to get my team sent off.
Yeah.
And it's got that rule where it's some games don't, some games just refuse to stop sending you off after so long. But it's got that rule where if you get... Is it six men sent off?
If you go down to six men, then you abandon the game.
You abandon the game. So I did it as a sort of try it, just as you do, keep sliding, tackling the goalkeeper, and getting sent off. And the game got abandoned. It said, you know, you lose. But I could still continue the game. And I found this hilarious. I could still continue the game, so it was like, right, I am going to get my entire team sent off and see what happens. So it became a challenge to try and get it to replay, take a shot, and then sprinting on goal to slide the keeper before he kicked it out. It became an hilarious challenge. And I got further down, I got the one. And then it got to the point where I'd no longer had two players in the centre circle to kick off.
Oh.
So it loaned me a player.
Really?
It loaned me their goalkeeper to kick off with.
All right. I don't know if that's what happened in real life, but obviously the game would have been abandoned by then.
Which is very... So then I got the other guy sent off.
Sunday League hero. What kind of Sunday League thing were you playing?
So then I got the other guy sent off, and it just left my goalkeeper left. That was the only member I had on my team, the goalkeeper. So it went to kick off again, except this time it was just the goalie standing in the centre circle.
What?
As the other team quickly lobbed over you and then...
No, because I can't kick it off because I've got no one to kick it off with. So it just crashed.
Right, so you walked ISS Deluxe. Nice.
I was so impressed. I've got a picture of it on this one. It's just the goalkeeper standing.
That's a great program game.
That'd be amazing.
I've got that on my phone. So yeah, I was impressed. And it's just a little fact. ISS was the first football game to do what? Any ideas?
Allow you to change the dimensions of the pitch.
You mean like the triangles and the squares, no?
You could choose a different pitch on ISS, but it actually gave you the pitch measure. It's like a really field game. You could actually choose a narrower pitch by like a couple of feet.
Oh, well, that might have been it, but that wasn't the answer I was looking for.
Oh, right, okay then. So it's going to defy your logic. Can I carry on?
Anyone else?
No,
I get it. It's the first football game to put numbers on the back of the shirts.
Was it?
Yeah, apparently
something
so.
As mundane... My one was better. Something as mundane as that.
Sorry.
It's also the only game that let you have dogs as linesmen.
Yes, I couldn't remember what the cheat was, but that was quite good.
I remember that. And they bark when it... And there's not... You can make the referee a dog as well.
Yes,
bark
it was, yes.
Instead of whistle.
And one other thing. It's got a feature that I think a lot of games don't have now and should do. It's got a kit editor.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's some like FIFA ruling that they don't want you to mess with FIFA's kits or whatever. But in them days, you could change colours of the strips and stuff.
It's been a Pro Evo thing for a fair while.
Oh, Pro Evo does it,
I think,
right?
It's your Master League kind of thing in Pro Evo. You can, you know, you start a club from scratch. You can make whatever kits. Shirt you want.
Yeah, you could edit kits like colours, but I just thought that'd be so good on the later game. Especially the N64, the very lazily didn't put it on the N64. I think that would have been quite good. Maybe it was too, I don't know, maybe it's too superior with the graphics and stuff. But yeah, that was my little thing on Christmas. Well, Super Mario, I put on Superstar Deluxe just to give it a try.
Cool.
The only difference team-wise, I'll just mention this randomly, the only difference team-wise from the N64 version to the Deluxe is Morocco replaces Tunisia.
Oh, interesting.
It's pointless.
A bit pointless.
I think it's wrong. It's not Tunisia.
I remember getting really bored one summer and having organising a whole World Cup on Pro Evo.
See? That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Do you want to know who won?
Cook Islands.
No. Sadly not the Cook Islands, because they're not in the game.
Oh.
Brazil beat Russia 2-0 in the final.
Ah,
there you go, see? Scotland went home after the group stages.
realistic World Cup.
Yeah, no, it's a highly realistic game. Yeah. England got eliminated by Germany. In actual fact, it was pretty much apt.
I'll just correct myself. It was South Africa that replaced it. It wasn't Tunisia, as I stated. That's that mistake, clearly.
Very well
anyway,
done.
That's
people over that crack don't live enough.
Yeah. That's that game summed up, really. It's on sale at the Emporium.
Nice.
And it was good to go back. I think that's one thing I like about retro games is to go back and relive moments and stuff. Yeah. Or replay them, because I've never played that before.
Just out of curiosity, do you sell iPads at the Emporium?
No, we do not believe in iPads at the Emporium.
Far too modern.
We think Apple are a bit rippy off when it comes to iPads.
Says the iPhone owner.
Is it story time?
Go on, Al. Go on. Fire away. Story time.
The bedtime hour.
On Christmas Day, one friend bought me a picture of Hulk
Hogan. Story time. Tell me
story. That's quite the vibe.
Right. Probably. They paid for the frame.
By botch mean they just printed that picture of Hulk Hogan.
No, it was a plastic frame. It was probably cheaper than that. But anyway, it was a thought that came to. It was a very good present.
Okay, so £1 at most then.
Right. Two?
Well, this was the confusion at first. It doesn't really state on the box it's an iPad 2.
Right.
Now, being a bit unthinky, I assumed it was an iPad 1, but it does turn out it was an iPad 2. They just don't put iPad 2 on the box.
Oh, okay.
That sounds clever, doesn't it? Anyway, but so I was dubious whether to open this iPad 2 or not, because I thought it was an iPad 1 primarily. So I went to the Apple store, and I must have got the most unhelpful assistant.
They're all unhelpful.
That clears
the
It's
twats.
All a bit cultish when you go to Apple store.
I hate them.
Well,
it's all something really...
Well, what annoyed me is he didn't know what he was talking about.
Is all a bit kind
of... We got there, and I sort of said, I've got an iPad... I said, what's the difference? What's the price difference between iPad 1 and 2?
Because that's a problem.
I assumed that an iPad 1. He says they don't sell them anymore. I was like, oh, I've got one in the house. But then he explained, Apple choose not to put 2 on the box. It'll still be an iPad 2. It just doesn't say it on the box, which...
I think they're quite sharp on taking the old ones off.
Because I thought maybe my mum got a cheaper one, sort of thing. But no, she did. To her credit, she got an expensive one.
Good old Mrs. M.
And the next bit I found out shocked me to repulsive levels. That...
go on.
This is what got me. I couldn't understand. There was one for an iPad, and then another price for an iPad 3G. Now, I assumed, again, incorrectly, that the iPad 3G was more expensive because it was a contract and you got so many minutes or downloads or whatever on this thing. And I was asking the guy, and he didn't seem to get what I was meaning by it. I said, well, that means he says, no, the tariff doesn't come with it. So I was like, it's a £100 difference in the price. So literally, that £100 difference was for the privilege of getting 3G on the iPad.
Yes.
And I was like, but my 2-year-old iPhone can get 3G.
Yes.
Why the hell should I pay another £100 to get something something that my 2-year-old iPhone can get?
There's probably some Apple head somewhere with the face is going puce at the moment. Oh.
Probably, and I just thought, no, you know what? I'm not doing it. I refuse to pay for something that's inferior to my, full price for something that's inferior to my ancient iPhone. So from that premise, I took it back and got my money back.
Have you reinvested the money in another bit of technology since?
Not yet, but the laptop's probably coming eventually.
Okay.
And that's what annoyed me. Not only that, I asked him if I could tether it through my iPhone, which has got 3G, and he said no. But the guy in the O2 shop said, of course I can, and the guy at work does it as well. So again, bad advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apple stuff usually works together quite well.
Yeah, bad advice on that point. But I was annoyed the fact that not only do I have to pay £100 to get it, then I've got to get a SIM card from somewhere go off the network to get me 3G. Yeah. And not only that, the guy, this is great customer service, I said, well, what sort of offers, what tariffs have you got in the Apple shop? And the guy advised me to shop around on the internet for one.
Sweet ass.
It's like, well, if you don't want me to spend any money here, that's fine. I'll go and see what I can find on the internet.
I've been in Apple stores before, and it all just seems a little bit too freakish for my liking. It just seems like, they're all about to sort of...
What, the genius bar, whatever it's called.
It just basically feels like the shop's just landed from another planet, and this is an alien race, bringing its wonderful new technology to the humans Look how thick they are as they come into our abode.
Yeah.
Look how stupid and unenlightened we are. Ah, we will give them some wonderful new technology.
Look at that stupid man assuming they're 3Gs, you know?
Yeah, 3G, look at him, feeble human.
But, I'll be honest, I expected our little Carlisle Apple premium retailer that's recently turned up to be slightly less like the Apple Store.
Oh yeah, because we've got a Stormfront now, haven't we?
Yep.
What about that?
Seems to just be exactly
the
same.
Is it the same I'm being, isn't
it? It's pretty much the same. It looks exactly the same. I've not been in, but it looks exactly the same.
I saw this when I was down at Christmas. Is it exactly the same as an Apple Store?
Bunch of people standing around in blue shirts.
I thought it looked like that, because from what white lanyards when I was down,
standing next to Apple products sparsely displayed on grey tables.
Yes.
So, just a mini Apple Store, basically.
Pretty much.
Well, I went in and asked to speak to... I couldn't find anyone, so I went to this guy and said, can I speak to you about iPads? And he said, if you go to the iPad table, right, and there's an app on the iPad, ask for assistance. And you've got to stand there and press that and someone will come. I'm like, well, I was talking to you now. Why don't you just help me, right?
You are joking.
So I had to go to the table. This is the best bit. I had to go to the table, press assistance, for the message to come up, this function is currently available.
They have the system moving
out. Oh, well done. Awesome.
Well, do you know what I did this in the Glasgow.
You twat.
I went through the entire iPad.
We at least set them all to break for Frogger as their homepage, and then left.
Yep.
I wish I thought of that. So no, I was like,
I did that to a giant iMac
this time. If for the same price I got 3G, because I don't know, I just think the Wi-Fi certainly around here, I think it's hopeless. I don't know if any users are impressed with
it's
it.
Not great. Yeah.
And if I'm relying on the Wi-Fi all the time. It just do me head in it.
Were you planning on taking the iPad out and about? Like,
that's the whole thing. Because if I can't get the internet on it, then it's useless to me. It's basically.
Pretty shit, yeah.
You know what, though? I had my ear principles, actually.
It is
quite fun. Walking in an Apple store and basically telling them the stuff's shit.
Because, I mean, my mum said, support me so I could use it on the train, which is great.
Aye.
And it's like, no, I can't, because you can't get Wi-Fi on the train. Certainly not the Newcastle train. It's not that good. And it's like, so it's useless, you know, I can't do it. And that's what really annoyed me the most, because I think 3D is fantastic on the mobile. Love 3D, I think it's brilliant. Yeah. You usually get a good signal, YouTube and all the rest of it. And to ask to pay £100 for something that's dated at least 2 years, probably older, I'm not sure. I felt that insult, and I really did.
Oh. 3G? The 3G technology I have in my pocket briefly while my fucking Xperia plane is back at the fucking Sony Center being fucking... It had a static... What looked like... You remember the old static fuzz on analog signals?
Your play experience.
It developed a fault that
I
looks...
I remember analog fondly.
That looks like that, basically. It just looks like coloured static fuzz. Mm. Now, it was workable until yesterday, and yesterday it just went fucking dead. I could not do anything with it, so, yeah. Flashed it back to its original software, then tried the update again. Nothing. No improvement. Lost all my contacts in the process. Always fun. Eventually I had to stick it in the post this morning to back off. They may charge me for the repair.
Ow.
So, we'll see.
You've had that since what, May?
Mm.
Ouch.
I'm annoyed.
Slightly, yeah. I'm going to get it back.
I'm going to get it back, and then I'm going into the Orange shop. I'm asking for an early upgrade, and I'm getting a Samsung Galaxy S2. And Sony Ericsson can shove it up their ass. Because frankly, this is the second time I've had a phone, and this is the second time I'm going to say I'm never buying a Sony Ericsson again.
My Sony Ericsson that I had before the iPhone was crap. Side note.
I had good Sony Ericssons up until the Satya. The Satya was a bundle of shit. Basically. Anyway, we've digressed off this.
We're a mobile phone talk
we're
show.
We're a mobile phone show. Mobile phones!
I can't remember the point I made initially that got me towards the phone.
I don't know.
It was really quite important,
I feel. You were admiring...
Yes, because of the...
We're talking about 3G and how of the Xperia thing. So
I'm currently using an Xperia LG player, Beauty.
When you have it, has 3G.
LG Beauty, 2006?
Yeah.
Has 3G.
Now, I might be...
LG, yes, I was working for T-Mobile when those phones were released.
To get that 3G, but Archon's, it's just a big iPhone, as far as I can see. Ridiculous. So,
trick a happy TV style.
Yes, that'll be... No, people probably made that joke already. Never mind. Yeah. Oh, well.
So anyway, that ends. It might have a happy ending, because like I say, I probably would like to buy an iPad if they knocked 100 quid off. So... If I could use my bartering skills and get it, I'll be more happy. But yeah, you're right. They're not going to. But probably next Christmas it'll come down in price anyway.
There's a rumor that the iPad 3 is going to be out in May.
That quick?
Yeah.
Oh, that bloody case. I'm glad I took the fucking thing back. That's the case.
So there you go.
Oh, God.
But it won't have 3 in the box.
No, probably not. No,
it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Right. Here endeth the section.
Greetings, listeners of Break for Frogger. I would like to start by saying that I sent Sonic's ring lady a present for Christmas, but I don't think I've thought it through properly. How am I supposed to know if she's wearing the red silk stockings when we only communicate via audio? Anyway, moving on. In order to prepare for the new series of Break for Frogger, I decided to come up with the big scoop. After disguising myself as an old HD DVD drive, I gained access to Microsoft's Xbox Research and Development Department. I've gained vast knowledge about the successor to the 360. Firstly, the new disk drive has a protective piece of software, meaning that if you insert a second-hand disk, the console will dot loudly at you, audibly complain that you've not given Microsoft any money from that transaction, and play a video of a starving software developer. If you continue to play second-hand games in the machine, then it'll eventually hold you responsible for destroying the entire games industry single-handedly. It'll come packaged with the new Kinect sensor, which will be much more advanced than the previous version on the shelves right now. Early tests are able to tell which color of pants you have on and what you had for breakfast that morning. It still has trouble with Scottish accents. Also, there is actually no console. The Xbox 720 is actually a state of mind which can be imagined after giving Microsoft £300 directly. It's the only way they could make the drive silent. Until next month, friends. Goodbye.
Well, there you go, mate, guys. Season 3. How do you think that went?
That was a good kickoff. I'm well
impressed. That wasn't bad. Once we get all the little extra bits and bobs added onto that, hopefully you'll have heard by now.
Bells and whistles.
And that should be just one of them. We should just have someone whistling. That'd be fine.
I think I've wasted me as material tonight. That's me out.
Are you spent?
That's me out of material for the year.
Shit. Oh well, never mind. Pub quiz next month then. Hold on. Quick update on the poetry competition.
Oh. Fuck all! Everybody wins!
Everyone wins!
All we wanted was a blank email.
You also wanted a blank, forgetting no one could be bothered. Never mind. Or no one listens and hates us. Pretty much. I don't know. I don't think we should ever try that again. Really?
Because everyone's on Twitter.
True.
Pretty much. Yeah, we'll all be too drunk.
Next thing, we should just actually...
Let me just say this to you. Why don't we just hold Break the contest for Frogger, listener base.
That way we're guaranteed to get a winner.
I'm not angry. I'm say just very funny. Disappointed.
Don't go having a pop. Don't go having a pop at them. Don't go. They make us what we are. Don't go having a pop at them. Don't.
Okay. No.
What was the other bit of business to wrap up with? Sam and Max Hit the Road.
Yes.
A request that we talk about Sam and Max Hit the Road.
We have had a request.
We have had a request, which we were contemplating in doing this episode, but I haven't really played much of it.
I've played the original for the PC in the 90s. It's something I'd like to probably redo before I talk about it.
Yeah,
I never actually completed it. I was very close, but...
I'll probably go back and have a look at that.
I'm thinking next month.
Next month, probably. I'll have a little look at that next month. yeah, so just so she's listening to this and, you know, she doesn't get disappointed that we haven't mentioned her at all. So
we've mentioned her now.
We've mentioned her now.
Indeed.
Not by name, because I don't know what her name is.
Clarissa.
That's the one. Hello. Right.
She calls you Gretna Man. It's quite amusing.
She calls me Gretna Man.
Yes. It's your superhero name.
Isn't he off Mega Man now?
Pardon?
I have no idea.
My superhero name.
I don't know.
How does she know?
Gretna Man.
Never mind. Gretna Man, there's a concept and a half. Get a comic book on that one. Right, if you want to get in touch with us in the meantime, the email address is...
it's breakforfrogger@gmail.com, but you won't be able to get emails to me quickly anymore because my fucking phone is in the shop.
Yeah, anyway, enough of that. I'm on Twitter as @CrippleH.
I'm on Twitter @RunawayBomber.
I'm back on Twitter @GeordieAllen.
Yes, you will.
And you'll find me @WanderingUrin. By the time we come back,
well, how old will you be?
A year older. So,
27. That's nothing, mate. The youngest
member.
Nothing.
Mentaler.
That is
I'll be the grand old age of 27.
Al's going to be 43.
Yes.
Now that was uncalled for, wasn't it, Cameron?
Not really. He's adding to it.
I think that's very uncalled for. But I look good for me age.
Sorry,
47. You do, okay. Yeah. Stunner.
Is that the Scottish slang?
I'm not an N64 I think so. Computer.
You're not an N64. No, you're not. You look better than N64. You're not smearing yourself in Vaseline.
Well, I do, of course. But,
you do, of course. Only for the special occasions. Really. Yes. The generic Twitter is @BreakForFrogger. Oh, you can get in touch with us. That'll probably end up being
Facebook.com/BreakForFrogger.
Yes.
Get us liked. 35 people like us. Apparently.
35 people like us. Which none of them do poetry. That's all I'm saying.
Apparently not.
But never mind.
The blog's their usual place, breakforfrogger.com.
Yes, I'm the only one that's actually done a 2012 most wanted yet. But never mind.
Well, I would bother, but I see no point in pretty much writing the same thing as you did.
Oh, you just have a thing, or just say same as Cam, and then just do that. That's what you should do. Yeah, same as Carmen.
That's just maybe do a 1993 most wanted.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, I was looking forward to RoboCop vs. Terminator. Well, there you go. Anyway, we shall see you next month. Bye.
Bye.
Ta-da.